Good morning. Thank God for this opportunity, and it's a privilege for me to be here, though I was not feeling really well since last Friday, and thank God he protected me and from a severe sickness, but don't think I'm contagious, but yeah, I had some, this time of the year, I have a very heavy load. My plate is overflowing. I have 4 classes to teach every week. In order to teach, I have to write books. Here, it's not like professors here. They just okay, here are textbooks, come and we will study. In order to teach classes, I have to write books. But thank you for your prayers, you in praying for that ministry over there. Would you please turn to God's Word in Ephesians, Paul's letter to Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Please give attention to God's holy and infallible Word. Whatever version you use, sometimes I use NIV, or at our church we use American Standard Version. In Reformed circles, sometimes NIV is called Nearly Inspired Version. I don't know, but well. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. May the Lord bless His word, hearing and preaching of His word this morning. Paul, actually beginning in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, and continuing through chapter 5, verse 14, which is immediate context of our text today, the Apostle Paul has challenged the church concerning her walk before the Lord in the whole last chapter. And we have been commanded and challenged prior to our text 5 times. Paul commands us to walk in different ways. The first is chapter 5, verse 1 through 2. We are commanded to walk in humility. And in the same chapter, chapter 4, verse 4 through 13, we are commanded and challenged, urged to walk in unity. And next, in the same chapter, verses 17 through 32, we are commanded to walk in separation from the world. And again, at the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5, we are commanded to walk in love. And just prior to our text, we are commanded to walk in light. Now in our text, in verse 15, we are challenged to add those 5 virtues, the quality of wisdom. Walking in humility, unity, separation, love, and light, we are to add to those 5 virtues the quality of wisdom. The word wisdom in our language, or especially in English language, which is not my language, it is a tongue for me. It means knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just right judgment to action. And in Scripture, it carries the idea of understanding the will of God as it is revealed in His holy word, and it is coupled with the desire to live it out. So the call here, invitation here, command here is for believers to yield to the Word of God in our daily walk. Not only Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, in our daily walk. We are to hear His voice as it is revealed in His Word, then we are to live out that revealed will moment by moment every day. In this passage, Paul gives us some insights into what the walk of wisdom is supposed to look like. So we are going to look at these insights and learn what the walk of wisdom or walking in wisdom and how we can activate it into our life. So the title of my sermon is Walking in Wisdom. Walking in wisdom or the walk of life of wisdom. This morning I got 3 points. Sermon. The first of all, the walking in wisdom is a diligent walk. It is a diligent walk. The second point is it is a discerning walk. And third one is it is a definite walk. In verse 15, the wise walk is clearly defined in verse 15 as Paul calls upon the church to look carefully. Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise or foolish, but as wise. So it is clearly defined in verse 15. The word look of verse 15 in Greek is blepo, and it is used as imperative, verb imperative, and it is in a present active and second person plural form. And it is used in Bible and in out of Bible in different contexts in 2 different ways, this word, look. It is used literally, and it is also used metaphorically. The word look in Greek literally means to see, to discern, perceive by the use of your eyes God has given us, and to turn the eyes to anything or to look at, to look upon or gaze at. That means just look. Yeah, it's very simple. It's a baby word which we learn at a kindergarten. My son learned that. But metaphorically, the word blepo means to see with the mind's eyes, to have understanding, to turn the thoughts or direct the minds to a thing, or to consider or contemplate. Then simply, the word see or look, which Paul is using here, means observe carefully. Observe carefully what we are to observe. But King James Version uses the word circumspectly. King James Version uses the word circumspectly, which carries the idea of being diligent, accurate, and precise. The command here, look therefore carefully, is for us to give attention to the way we walk in this world, so that we walk accurately and precisely according to the Word of God, the Word of God's will revealed in the Word. If you have ever seen anyone walk on a tightrope, I saw one time, not here in America, but in Korea, when I was there, in a folk village somewhere. I was in Suwon, maybe. If you have ever seen a person walking on tightrope, then you know what Paul is referring to here. The person on the tightrope walks or watches where he places his each step very carefully. And a slightest deviation or inaccuracy in his footing would result in a definite fall. It would. As believers, We must give the diligence to every step we take in this world. Very diligently. To do less is to guarantee that we will fall, not from a salvation, because we believe in the perseverance of the saints. We will fall into the trap of the enemy if we do not pay attention. I would remind you that we have an enemy, and we all know that. This morning, we saw in a Sabbath school class how St. Clare Ferguson was pointing to when Jesus was here. And even today, that's reality. I would remind you that we have an enemy that is set on our destruction, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 18. Peter says, be sober, brothers and sisters, be sober. Be watchful. Enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So we have to be watchful. The enemy sets trap for us and waits to attack us and to destroy what? Our walk with the Lord. He cannot destroy us, but he destroys our walk with the Lord. The reason Christians must walk in wisdom, a diligent walk, is that they face furious and relentless spiritual opposition from Satan and his demons, all the time, everywhere. Not only in the Middle East or in Eastern countries, but everywhere. That's a spiritual reality. You must not become indifferent to that reality or indulgent of sin, lest you become victims of enemies. So we should not, brothers and sisters. Instead, the realities of spiritual warfare call for watchfulness all the time. Paul and Peter urges believer to be on the alert, which is an imperative, a command, that means be watchful or stay awake. I just stay awake. I had a coffee. I feel I'm awake this morning. Thank you, Matthew, for your hospitality, and I really enjoyed the fellowship, and thank you for your coffee as well. Which helped, actually. Thank you. Like a hunter sets a trap to catch an enemy, Satan does all he can do, all he can tempt us away from the place of safety and closeness to God. He always does. He seeks to entice us into sin in every way he can. If you are going to bait deer, you don't use dead fish, do you? You have to use corn or apples or whatever. I don't know what is these days what the deer will like. Or something else that is attractive to the animal. Whatever. Satan knows what is attractive to us. He knows very well. He studies us, actually, very carefully. What we know, what we like. Like a hunter, he studies his prey. Satan studies us to see what we like, and he baits his traps accordingly. He's very smart. Smarter than maybe many IT guys. Satan is very treacherous and a very dangerous enemy. Yet the only reason he has any power at all to deceive and destroy us is due to the sin that dwells within each of us in our hearts. As James says, we are drawn away of our own lusts. It is because of our sin, indwelling sin in our hearts. Every time we fall into sin, it is only because we take the bait and fall into devil's snare. So as knowing that, so knowing the deceitful of the enemy and the wickedness of our own heart, Paul warns us, brothers and sisters, to watch every step we take, because each step is filled with danger, especially in this world, especially in the West. I'm sorry. Once I was somewhere talking about giving presentation, somebody asked me, which country is the most dangerous country for Christians? They were thinking maybe Iraq, obviously Pakistan, Syria, and most of Americans think like that. But my answer was, America. We always think about external persecution, think about blood or something, but philosophical, very soft type of persecution, maybe you just ignore that, maybe nothing. But that is Satan's trap as well. Further in the second part of verse 15, we see, we are counseled and commanded, looking carefully and walk not as fools or unwise, but as wise. First, we are commanded to look carefully, and secondly, negatively, that we are not to walk as fools or foolish, unwise, but as wise. We are not to walk like the world around us, foolishly. They stumble, people, unbeliever. They stumble around in the darkness of their depraved condition, and they take no heed to where the next foot will fall. Just ignorantly, they're walking. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we should not be blind, because we are not to be blind because we have been redeemed. We are redeemed people. And we are redeemed by what price? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are not to be blind because we have been made alive, and we have been redeemed. We are not to be blind because we have been given the Spirit of God this morning. What a wonderful subject. We just finished that series in our church in Shawnee, on the Holy Spirit. We are not to be blind because we are given the Holy Spirit of God and the light of the Word of God here. Sometimes I really confused how many versions of the Bible here we have in America. In Pakistan, I still use a handwritten Bible. Though they have a computerized version there, but still. So many good teachers here, Sproul, Sinclair Ferguson, and many others. Studies, material, libraries, books, and wonderful. But we are given in our own language. We are not to be blind because we have been given light of the Word, and many good teachers, your pastors, leaders, elders. We do not stumble about like a blind man, but we have been equipped to walk accurately, placing each step precisely where it pleases the Lord and leads us in every step closer to the Lord. What a blessing it is to know that we do not have to fall for the deception of Satan. What a blessing it is to know that. Through the help of Holy Spirit, we can walk in wisdom. That's why John says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, "But you have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you all know that." Do you know that? We have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. "I write to you not because you do not know that the truth, but because you know it, and know that no lie is of the truth." We know that. We are anointed. We are redeemed. We are alive. And as we know that our Lord has won victory over Satan, which is real comfort. We cannot overcome by our own power, but the Lord has won victory over Satan and has made us wiser than Satan. He has given us what we need to be able to walk in His will and for His glory. Dear people of God, you are not fools. We are not. Christ has made you wise. The whole wisdom. I would ask you, are you walking diligently by watching every step you take every day? We are commanded to do so. So walking in wisdom, or walk of wisdom, is a diligent walk. Secondly, walking in wisdom is a discerning walk. It is a discerning walk. Verse 16 says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Making most of the time because days are evil. We are to walk accurately, literally, practically, perfectly in this world, but we are also to walk with discernment. We are to walk with discernment. The Lord here says we are to be redeeming our time. We are commanded to redeem our time. I know sometimes I redeemed my reward I earned from the bank. I buy on a credit card something. I think Western culture knows more than any my culture, where there are not many credit cards. The Greek word here, exagorezo, means to buy up or to deliver from loss. It was used in actually Greco-Roman culture of purchasing a slave in order to set him free, set that slave free. Paul did not hear. Again, one interesting thing for time, that Greek word is also a very interesting word here for time. Paul is using, redeem your time. Paul is not here using a chronos. The word chronos means the term for clock time. He's not using for that word, not clock time. The continuous time that is measured in seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years. He's not using that word. Why? Rather, he uses kairos. Kairos, the word kairos means, and he speaks of, when he's saying, it is measured or allotted allotment of time. It's a measured time. It's not a clock time going on and on and on and on. We are given a specific measured time, fixed time, limited time. This is a measured, allotted, and a fixed season in this life. We are not going forever. Obviously, we will live forever. We will be raised. But this life is short, it means. It is limited. I don't know how long, but it's limited. Paul is talking about the small window of time we have been given in this world. It's a small window of time. In other words, we are to deliver the fixed time we have been given in this world from loss. We have to redeem. We have to buy up that fixed, limited time we have been given. This phrase speaks about our walk with the Lord, and it challenges us to make good use of every opportunities for serving the Lord. Use every opportunity to serve the Lord. Peter says it is the way in this way. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17. If any else, sorry, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself in fear during the time you stay on earth. Conduct yourself in fear during the time, this fixed time you have been given. You stay on earth. The Lord has determined the boundaries of our lives, of course. We will not live 1 minute more or 1 minute less than the time we have been allotted by the Lord. It is fixed. It is short. It is limited. That's why Psalmist says in Psalm 39 verse 4, "The Lord, make me to know my end and what is extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am." Napoleon said once there, Napoleon once said, "There is in the midst of every great battle a 10 to 15 minutes period that is very crucial, and that has a crucial point. So take that period and you win the battle. Lose it and you will, thank you. And lose it and you will be defeated. So pay attention to the time you have been given." Excuse me, thank you. When we walk obediently in the narrow way of the gospel, we walk carefully, making the most of our times. We take full advantage of every opportunity to serve the Lord, redeeming our time to use for His glory. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I have been given a short window of time to live in this world. At best, our lives are a vapor, as James says in chapter 4, verse 14. We are here just a few days, Job says in verse 14, verse 1. We need to make the most of every opportunity. We are given this small or limited time to serve the Lord. Therefore, I want to urge every one of you here this morning, take the time to pray. Take the time to worship collectively, corporately, and individually. Take the time to share the gospel with your neighbors, wherever you work. And take the time to be holy. Obviously, we are given many means of sanctification, Word of God, prayers, fellowship. And take the time to read the Bible. Take the time to honor the Lord every minute of every day. And what are the reasons given for redeeming the time in our text? What is the reason given to redeem the time in our text? The reasons are, furthermore, Paul tells us that we should redeem the time we have been given because the days are evil. Because days are evil. The Greek word evil comes from the same word that gives us our word pornographic. It comes from the same word pornographic in English. The days are wicked, evil, filled with every kinds of evil. Don't you think? It's beautiful around us, is it? It is beautiful morning. We thank God. But when we look around us, especially, fear. can send our children to public school. Obviously, there are families going, and we, especially, that is very scary for us, since I'm from very different culture, never knew what's happening, but learning all the time. These are evil. And what you see around the world, in Syria, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in America, the days are wicked, evil, and filled with every kind of sin. God has placed us here to be the light to the world trapped in darkness. We are His ambassadors, brothers and sisters, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. He has given us a window of time in this evil world to serve Him, walk for Him, and for His glory, and for His name. So we are to walk through this world. We are to recognize the two things, the evil around us, this evil around us, all around us. But we have to also recognize the opportunity God has given us. It's a blessing for us. Though the world is evil, but we are given the opportunity the Lord has given to us to serve Him. We are to redeem those opportunities everywhere we are, whatever setting, whatever context we are. Walking in a wisdom or walk of wisdom is a diligent walk. It is also a discerning walk. And then my third point is walking in wisdom or walk of wisdom is also a definite walk. It is a definite walk according to verse 17 we read. Verse 17, Paul says, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Finally, Paul says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand the will of the Lord for you? Do we understand? How can we understand the will of the Lord? The phrase, do not be foolish, repeats actually and reinforces Paul's previous plea for believers not to be unwise and understand what the will of the Lord. Actually, it expands and makes more clear his plea to walk wisely. To walk wisely. In light of urgency to make the most of our time, not being foolish includes, among other things, is not becoming anxious or panic. Though the world around us is upside down, so we should not be panic as well. When we look around the pervasiveness of the evil, sometimes some people, maybe some one among us, and when we look all around, unending needs for, at the same time, an unending need for evangelism and service to others in Christ's name, it is easy to be overwhelmed. Wow! So it is easy to overwhelmed and maybe be panic even for that. That's a good thing. It's not bad. It's a good thing. Yeah, what a great field God has given us to proclaim. The proper sense of urgency, however, drives the wise believer to want more than even to understand what the will of the Lord is. Because he knows that one in the Lord's will and power can everything good and lasting be accomplished. He will not be foolish by running. A believer, a wise believer, will not be foolish by running crazily in every direction trying to see how many programs and projects he can become or he can be involved in. Sometimes there are times. But we need to remember, we should not try to run ahead of God. And if we do so, it will put us further behind His work. If we are not careful, we will fall into the trap of busyness. I hope you have read the book by, I'm not very much fond of that writer, but that book is very good, Bill Hybel. Maybe you have heard the book. That is a very good book. Too Busy. The title is Too Busy Not to Pray. Too Busy Not to Pray. We are to be careful. We will fall into the trap of busyness. We run here and there with our calendars and smartphones and schedules, thinking we have to do all these things for ourselves and for others. Yeah. Isn't smartphone blessing? We allow ourselves to get so busy doing all the things we do that we do not have the time to enjoy the Lord who saved us. Even on Lord's Day. So many plans and programs. Therefore, instead of running through life like a fanatic, we are counseled to be understanding what the will of the Lord is. But how do we understand what the will of the Lord is for me and for our lives? How do you understand? The basic answer to this question is that we find the will of the Lord in the principle taught in the Holy Scripture. That's the only way we can understand the will of the Lord, and from listening, preaching, teaching, fellowship of the believers. The Word of God reveals the will of God, and we have to slow down long enough to read the Word of God, to meditate on it, and to understand it. In order to understand the will of God, we are to. We must take time for the Bible, or we will let the moments of our lives slip through our fingers. Think of how foolish we are in this matter. Think about it. How foolish we will be in this matter. If we send our kids to school in effort to help them learn, but we do not take the time to teach them the book written by the wisest being in this whole universe. They think they will be intelligent, they will be doctors, they will be engineers, but we do not take time at home, at church, to teach them the Word of God. I'm not saying that we should not send our children to school. I'm not saying that. But if it will be foolish if we do not teach them the Word of God at home. But I'm saying it would be shame for us to send our children or our child from our home to college to be educated in the wisdom of men if they are left home. If they left home ignorant of the Word of God. We strive to learn all sorts of things, growing in our knowledge, especially in the West. While we do not take time to learn from the fountain of all wisdom, the Lord Himself. I know, especially in my country, the lack of biblical knowledge in the average home and church is astonishing. I think it is very much true in America as well. So-called Christians. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God has given us His Word. I should bring that Bible, or the Bible, that's a handwritten. We don't have many versions. That's so precious to me. Every time I go back and they say, why don't you buy a new computerized print? I said, oh, I love it. I've been holding since my childhood that Bible. It's so dear to me. We don't have many Bibles there. Whenever I go back, we give away Bibles always. There are many people, even they don't have their own Bible. We have maybe 10 versions. Each person has 10 versions of the Bible. I have many in my library here. Anyway, we are given His Word. And it is without error. This Word is without error. It is infallible. It is inspired. And it is eternal. It is food for our souls. When we read the Bible, we are exposed to the very mind of God Himself, the creator of this universe. That's why we need to read it much and read it often. We need to be the people of the book. Muslims are very, very proud. They call themselves Ahle Kitab. We are the people of the book. We should be proud of that. We are the people of book. Knowing we should be the people of book and knowing its ultimate and author and intimately and understanding its message clearly. There's no excuse for any believer who owns a Bible. Do you own a Bible today? Do you have a Bible? If not here, at home. There's no excuse for a believer who owns a Bible and who can read Bible, who can read it and be ignorant of the Word of God. I can understand, again, in Pakistan, there are many, many people illiterate. For example, my own dad, he never been to school. Never been to school. He cannot read alphabet in Urdu. But I'm thankful to God and thankful to my dad. He sent us to school. So now we can read the Bible. But here, I think every kid can read. Every person can read better than me. Well, we need to repent of our neglect of the Word, dear brothers and sisters. We need to repent if we neglect the Word of God and pick up our Bibles and read it. And it gives us peace, hope, help, strength, and wisdom. It helps us know the God of heaven, and knowing Him teaches us how to walk in this world. If we do not know the God, we do not know how to walk wisely in this world. Dear people of God, knowing God teaches us how to make our lives count for God's glory. Do you have a Bible? Read it. Learn it, love it, and live it. Your Bible will keep you from being spiritually brainless and barren. It will make you wise in the ways of the Lord, and it will open your eyes to the schemes of the enemy. And it will reveal you the will of God for you in this life on the earth and life to come. I will close with a couple of questions. Just, how is your walk with the Lord? Are you walking in wisdom or are you walking in ignorance? How is your relationship with the Word of God? Do you read it? And do you live it? May God of heaven help you to do so. Let's pray. Lord God, King of heaven and earth, please guide your people with kindness and govern us with love. Give us the spirit of wisdom and help our daily walk in this world. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We will be singing Psalm 1, selection A, I believe. Okay. Thank you. Please rise. Jesus Christ, and love of our Heavenly Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all right now and forever and ever. Amen.